The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, it is, and it is Friday. Yes. Welcome to a Friday, and oh my goodness, what a Friday it is. I'm calling today just the Friday News Dump because it is. There is so much going on today. So let me start off by just running down the list of all that is happening today and qualifying it by saying I'm sure I'm leaving something out. So the phone lines are open today, 954-889-6410, or you can always Skype in. I'm Nicole Sandler, all one word. And we'll take calls today. And Dave Johnson's going to join us in a little bit. But here's what I have on my list of things happening in the news today. Obviously, I'm in Florida. I'm in South Florida. So the building collapse in Surfside, just north of Miami Beach, is just tragic. It's horrific. So far, four people have been pulled dead from the wreckage. One little boy was found alive shortly after the building collapsed, and he was the last live person who was taken from the rubble there. 159 people now, they're saying, are unaccounted for. So we find out. Derek Chauvin was sentenced just about an hour or so ago, maybe a little longer, and he was sentenced to 270 months, that is 22 and a half years. I guess it's better than what it could have been, but certainly not good enough. What else? Merrick Garland announced that the Justice Department will file a lawsuit against Georgia over their new voting restrictions. It's about fucking time. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office informed Donald Trump's lawyers that criminal charges could be filed against the Trump Organization as soon as next week. Rudy Giuliani's law license was suspended. Nancy Pelosi announced a new select committee to investigate the January 6th insurrection. Joe Biden announced a crackdown on gun violence and crime. We can get into that. There's allegedly a deal on infrastructure. Who knew? Kamala Harris is at the border. COVID is not done yet. The new Delta variant on the rise is the Delta Plus variant, and it's horrible. And get vaccinated if you haven't yet. And now Congress is on vacation for 2 weeks because that's what they do. So that'll get us started today. A few things to talk about. And already, well, we've got a caller, and it's David. Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi.
As far as the infrastructure deal is concerned, the Republicans are already talking about going back on their word.
Well, of course.
Because, you know, they're Republicans.
That's right.
But the main reason that I called in, something has not been mentioned, and you and I discussed this briefly. You know, I'm not a big fan of the military-industrial complex, but I think it really needs to be said, particularly after one of the events that took place this week. General Mark Milley,
yeah,
is probably more responsible than anyone for our not living in a dictatorship.
Right now,
if he had been willing to kiss the ring of the former guy, and instruct the military to go along with the insurrection that took place January 6th, we would very likely be living in a dictatorship right now, because every coup fails if it's not supported by the military. And
right.
It was his leadership ahead of the coup that I believe prevented that from taking place. And had it not taken place, as I said, we'd be living in a dictatorship right now. And I don't think he's gotten nearly enough credit, particularly in view of the shit he took the other day from that fucking weasel Gates.
But he didn't take shit from Gates. But he
calling him a pig and dumb last night.
Right. The thing is, though, Mark Milley did not take shit from Gates. He gave it back to him, and he was brilliant. I don't usually have much good to say about military people either. But both he and Austin, the Secretary of Defense, I thought stood up to that bully, to that piece of shit who should not be in Congress right now. He should be in a jail somewhere. By the way, I screwed up because there are three more stories on my list. I just didn't scroll down far enough. Three other things on today's news dump. Joe Biden earlier today designated the Pulse nightclub site as a national landmark. The Supreme Court handed down three more opinions today, though none of the biggies. The term wraps up next week, so there are five left, including voting rights, go figure. And just the moment before I came on the air, I got an alert on my phone, and the new UFO report is out. And in a nutshell, it says the United States is unable to explain more than 140 unidentified flying objects, but the new report finds no evidence of alien life. It's just so typical of our government. But so anyway, that's more stuff.
Maybe I misspoke and I should have said that Milley caught some shit.
Yes, he did.
Fucking Gates.
Right, but he didn't take it because he gave it right back to him. He was brilliant.
No, I agree, but he caught some shit.
Anybody who gets in Matt Gates, anybody who gets in Gates' way is in the line of shit because that's what spews from his mouth every time he opens it.
Exactly.
Yep.
But nonetheless, getting back to my original point, Milley deserves tremendous credit. I don't think he's gotten nearly enough. And with those words of wisdom, I will let you get back to the show. Love you, bye.
All right. Love you too. Bye. It's very true. And that's why I played that video yesterday or the day before. I don't know. The days all run together for me. But I played the video of his response to Gates. That slimy guy. You know, and there are stories all over, you know, the interwebs today talking about how colleagues on both sides of the aisle are pissed off that he's still there and he's still spewing this crap from his mouth every time. You know, the fact that he gets to question our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of Defense is so wrong on so many levels, just so wrong. All right, we're going to get into some of this stuff. But before we go there, I got to tell you, today is a weird day for me. It's June 25th, obviously, 2021. But June 25th is a date that I always remembered because when I was 11 years old, June 25th in the year 1971, I graduated from sixth grade. I had gone to elementary school from the first day of kindergarten through sixth grade graduation at PS 169 in Bayside, Queens, New York. And our school had a graduation ceremony for the graduating sixth graders who were then going to go on to a new, it wasn't junior high school anymore, and it wasn't even middle school. What my graduating class went to was IS 25. It was a brand new school. I don't know if they still have IS designations, intermediate schools, or they went back to junior high or whatever. I don't know, because that day we moved to Florida. We were moving. You know, my parents had built, they didn't physically build the house, but they bought this land and hired the builder. It's a planned community. Florida is all communities, all planned communities, South Florida. And so this was a new community that had been built up here in Hollywood, Florida. And so we were building a house down here. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but the main reason, I guess, that we moved to Florida was my mother had leukemia. Yeah, with one of those families where they didn't tell the kids because they thought they were protecting us. So we moved to Florida in 1971. It was June 25th. 1971. I remember the date. Went to my sixth grade graduation, and then we went to the airport and moved to Florida. And I started this whole new part of my life. 50 years ago today, I graduated elementary school. Now, since 1971, I really hadn't spoken to any of those people that I went to grade school with, because at that age, you know, you didn't keep in touch. At 11, I didn't keep in touch. And it was before the internet. You know, it was the olden days. But now with the advent of Facebook, I have gotten in contact again with some of those people that I went to elementary school with. So today, because I have old home movies and some of those old class photos, I posted them on Facebook. And I said, today is the 50th anniversary of my family's move from New York City to South Florida. June 25th, 1971 was the day I graduated from sixth grade at PS 169 in Bayside, Queens. And I have a video that my father shot that was from my first day of kindergarten. Back in the old days when we had home movies were shot on film. There was no video cameras. It was film. It was I want to say 16 millimeter, but I think it was smaller than that. And there was no sound on the film. It was just the old movies. My dad used to take these movies. So years ago, I got a ton of, you know, the movie reels, all digitized, put on VHS, and then I dubbed them onto DVD. And again, the quality is not great, but, you know, I have these memories, these wonderful, really cool memories. So I posted it today along with the class pictures that I have from like second through sixth grade. And I tagged some people that I went to grade school with. And it's so funny to see people commenting 8 millimeter, somebody saying 8 millimeter, someone saying 9. But little, you know, the old film. I've still got the films. I've still got the projector because I don't like to throw things away. But it's all been digitized. So anyway, if you want to see, for those watching on video, here's the little video from my very first day of kindergarten. All right. I know it's fascinating for people listening to the audio stream, but I was going to say there's a payoff here, but not really. That's my older sister running. That's our school, the Bay Terrace School. It was PS 169 public schools. That's how they do it in New York City. And then you see us walking, and I'm the little girl in the white sweater with the red and white dress with the pigtails, and I'm waving at the camera. Right. And then in a moment, you're going to see these two little blonde girls right there. They just walked by me. They were my neighbors, Shara and Elise, and they lived down the hall. And, you know, we lived down the hall from each other until I moved the last day of sixth grade of graduation. I have not spoken to those two girls in all these years. And I posted it today and I tagged them and a few other people and they responded. So these are people that I have not spoken to in 50 years. My friend Bill Mumy has anytime I talk about how time flies, he says, time is a strange river or something like that. Time is weird, right? It's just weird. And it's amazing that I can look back on the events of 50 years ago and know that, you know, my life took this major turn. I went back to New York after that. When I graduated college, I moved back to New York. I lived in New York City from 81 to 87. And 87 is when I moved out to Los Angeles. And the whole time I was in LA and I worked on the radio, I never touched base with any of those people. But now people ask me, why, you know, Laffy and others, why are you still on Facebook? Two reasons. One is this, because I'm connecting with people that I knew 50 years ago in elementary school. And also I can keep in touch with my music radio industry friends from my years in Los Angeles, because if not for that, I wouldn't talk to them. But there's one other thing I got to tell you about. So there's a thread in here. And let me show you also. There's a picture. I put up a bunch of class pictures. So I'm going to go back to the second grade one because it's the cutest. So this is from second grade. And I think I told you about this the other day that, I'm putting up the picture on the screen. And I'll tell, for those of you who don't see it, this is my second grade class picture. It was 1967, PS 169 Queens. That's me in the middle with the headband on. And sitting to my left is a little girl, a blonde little girl, and her name was Edna Pizer. And I remember her because we were in almost every class from kindergarten through sixth grade. If you go through the other ones as we get older, she's in those pictures. Well, Edna Pizer, I learned many years later, is Andrea Pizer. She changed her name, as you know, I would too if my name was Edna. And she went on to write a column for the New York Post because she's a right winger. And I discovered that she was the same person I went to grade school with when I was working at Air America Radio. And so I invited her on the show, you know, because this right winger to, you know, talk to this very progressive person who went to grade school together. And she just came up with excuse after excuse after excuse. So she didn't. So now that was the last time I had any contact at all with Andrea Pizer. Fast forward to, April of this year, I get a letter to my email box. You know, I have a post office box. The address on my website is a post office box. I don't give out my home number. And it took a while till I got it, but I got a letter from someone in Brooklyn. I open it up and it says, "I found this picture I took at a class trip with PS 169 in the 1960s when you were Nikki." Now I've always been Nikki. Nicole is my real name. When I was a kid, everyone called me Nikki. But yeah, my name, that's my name. Anyway, she sends this picture. And it's a picture of me. I look to be in about first or second grade. Very cute, if I do say so myself. And it's signed, "Cheers, Andrea Pizer." So for all these years, she kept this picture. So today, I post this stuff, and there's a message on the thread from Andrea Pizer asking, "Did you ever get that picture I sent you?" To which I answered, "Yes, I did," and it freaked me out. 50 years. You know, we think it's a half a century. For old people, it's nothing. And speaking of old people, I guess we should welcome our old person. Hold on, I got to get the other screen up so I can. Where are you, Dave? My Dave intro is not here. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to skip the Dave intro today because my desktop got all screwed up and I didn't double check to make sure it was there. So I'll just say, you know, Dave Johnson is always right. I mean, correct. Hi, Dave Johnson. Welcome back to the show.
Old person. That was a nice intro. You're an old person.
Yeah, okay. But you are. I mean, I'm old and you're older than I am. So there,
am
look
I
these
in
days.
In the middle on your screen or am I way over at the side?
Yeah, you're way over at the side. I'm going to fix it. Unless you, if you,
gonna, yeah.
You can
I'm
do
in
it.
Middle,
right.
I got
okay,
a nice bookcase and everything, you know.
I know. I'm going to fix it. Look, sure. I there's just so much one person can do. You understand? So
I'm the producer.
I'm the producer.
You need stagehands, a producer. You need multi-million dollar advertisers.
Yeah.
You
know what? I don't have that up either. I used to have an intro to the show that you likely have heard. And it says something like, yeah, when Nicole Sandler sits down to do the show, she's the producer, the booker, the engineer, the this, the that, because I do everything. And I, you know, the sad thing is I do it all, okay.
If there's a listener out there who can spare $10,000 a month, I think Nicole could handle that.
I could easily use $10,000 a month.
If you want to promote progressive radio, progressive talk, you know, out there.
Like, bring it on.
If she were a right winger, she'd be making $500,000.
You know, and that's so true. Because I know people in radio who have sold out. Literally sold out. Yeah. People who were, Joyce Kaufman is a perfect example. This woman, Joyce Kaufman, she was the one who was Alan West's sidekick. And she's on a right wing station here in South Florida. Well, when I first met her, she was very liberal. But the station is, you know, it's what talk radio is these days. It was a right wing nut job station. And in order to stay on the air, she just went full on, you know, yeah, wing nut. And she still is. She's wing nuttier than ever. But she's not the only one. There are lots of people. Most of them don't believe the crap they spew.
Oh, I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. Yay. The middle. See, it takes me a little time, but I can get it done. Yes. Vaccinated.
Nice.
Got
the shirt.
Nice.
Yeah. So if people see me without a mask on and I have this so they can say, oh, he might not be a Republican. You know, so around here, they opened up a week or two ago, But it's all masks where I live.
Really? Good. As it should be. It's not, because I live in Florida, the land of, you know, death sentence and his idiocy. And so people don't wear masks. But I got to I went to the dentist today. I had to get a teeth cleaning. Everything's fine. And walked in with my mask, and they were all wearing masks. And that's still the protocol there. But in Florida in general, no, no. People are nuts.
Yeah. Just people. I worry about you, reading about you, and about you being in Florida, you know?
I worry about me being in Florida, too.
You're going to get eaten by an alligator or a python or something one of these
days. That's the least of our worries. Hey, a building could fucking collapse. Did you hear this? They have found out that this building has been sinking steadily since the 90s. Since the 90s, it's been sinking, and that's not the only one.
Florida real estate.
Yeah, it's built on sand. What do you expect? And then somebody told me,
like Republican politics.
Right. Then I heard a listener, Tamara, sent me a email today that they did these. They had a bombing off the coast of. Let me find it so I can tell you exactly what I'm talking about, because I off the top of my head I don't know. Here she said, U.S. Geological Survey reports 3.9 magnitude experimental explosion off the coast of Florida, and it was shortly before the building collapsed the other night. They set off an explosion off the coast that registered as a 3.9, and then all of a sudden this building mysteriously collapses.
Great.
Yeah. You know, you think there can be...
This is not my usual. This is a kind of a light green tea.
Okay.
I wanted something a little less caffeine, so I don't end up shouting like I often do.
Okay. Hey, Dave Johnson, we have a call, and I did say anyone could call in today, but I want to let you know... I worry. It's a 505 area code. And we, when I say we, I'm talking about the progressive voices, hosts, myself, Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy. We have a stalker, a crazy guy in New Mexico who sends us these emails. And when I see it's him, I just delete them. But I always wonder when I see a call from the 505 area code, it's probably him. His name is Pat. So let's just see if it's Pat. Is that you, Pat?
You betcha, babe.
Okay, bye. All right. See, I knew it was him.
He might have been about to say he's got 10,000 a month.
Yeah, no, not at all. No. Not at all. Yeah, no. Now I know his number. I've got it here. So, yeah, if he calls again, I just won't take it. So anyway, but other people are welcome to call if you want. So all this news going on, Dave Johnson, from the building.
I've been avoiding getting around to that, you know.
I know, as have I. I mean, I'd rather talk about moving to Florida 50 years ago from New York and catching up with the people that I went to elementary school with, one of whom is a right-wing commentator for the New York Post. Look at that. But there's other stuff to talk about, like, you know, this infrastructure deal. Merrick Garland saying that he's going to file suit against Georgia over their voting, this new bullshit they're putting out. Infrastructure deal. Did I say that? Pelosi and now a select committee to investigate January 6th. Biden's gun stuff that he announced yesterday. Kamala Harris is at the border.
What? I missed the gun stuff.
Yeah, so did I, because I was doing a show. But he said that he's going to go after rogue gun dealers and gun trafficking, bolster law enforcement, invest in communities.
In other words, all of them?
What's that?
In other words, all of them?
Yeah, all of them, right. Invest in communities with the most violence. Anyway, he's saying there's going to be a concerted effort to deal with the gun problem. But again, as long as the filibuster is in place, I don't think they're going to do anything. And the other thing he did today was he signed legislation to make the Pulse nightclub site a national landmark.
Oh, good. That's nice.
Nice. Yep. Heard that. So, I mean, you can take your pick. Supreme Court's coming in with decisions every day, though they didn't do any biggies today.
They didn't.
But what's weird, they had three. They announced three decisions today. One was big. Which one?
TransUnion.
The which one?
The TransUnion.
TransUnion. What was that one about?
They further limited the ability to do class action lawsuits.
Oh, class action lawsuits. Right. But it was so narrow in scope. And again, this was hours ago, so it's flown out of my mind already. But hold on. I do have my notes up from it. It was TransUnion versus Ramirez. It was 5-4. And what was interesting about the decisions today is that the lineups were really weird. Right. There was a 6-3 split, but on the other one, on Holly Frontier versus Renewable Fuels Association, it was written by Gorsuch with a Barrett dissent joined by Sotomayor and Kagan. So it was strange bedfellows in a lot of these. TransUnion was by Kavanaugh, 5-4, with Thomas dissenting, joined by the three liberals. Clarence Thomas dissented in that case, joined by Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. And you're right, this is about credit reporting agencies and whether or not you have the right to sue as a class action. And they're saying, well, if it didn't really damage you, you don't really have any standing. I think it was on standing, wasn't it?
Yeah. In other words, they're deciding how much damage you had?
Yeah. The court holds that only the named plaintiff, this guy Sergio Ramirez, had shown that formatting defects in mailings sent to him by the credit reporting company had caused him any concrete harm. So he was the only one who had the right to sue. So the court reversed the Ninth Circuit ruling and sent the case back to the lower court for further proceedings. But they said it was not a class.
The lawyers have to spend the money to interview everybody in the class.
Right, right. But it said the class, that the class didn't have the right to sue, only the person, Ramirez. He was the only one in that instance who had the right to sue. But again, it's the grouping. The third one was Yellen versus Confederated Tribes, and it had to do with Alaska Native corporations, whether or not they're Indian tribes for purposes of the CARES Act. And whether or not they could get help with COVID relief. And the court ruled they could. But it was written by Sotomayor. It was 6-3. But Kagan dissented along with Gorsuch and Thomas. It was just a weird breakup. Yeah. It wasn't like the six right-wingers against the three sort of liberals.
It's also unusual to see Clarence Thomas
Anything. Right. Well, you know what? Since Scalia died, Clarence Thomas has been speaking. I guess he felt intimidated with Antonin, and he wouldn't speak while Scalia was still alive. But I figured once he was dead, then he could open his mouth again. And he does. Right. But the fact that he is joined by liberals on two of the dissents, one opinion and one dissent, it's just weird, right? It's not what we expected. So
there's a lot of thinking that this court is watching the Congress and very worried that if they do one of their usual kind of Republican domination, get rid of people's rights things, that then the Senate will get rid of the filibuster and add seats to the court and expand the circuit courts and all of that, I think.
Right.
And they're sensitive to that.
Right. Well, and the question on whether or not Breyer is going to retire. He's written a number of these big opinions. Now, it's still to come. There are five left. One of the five is on voting rights. And the powers that be, you know, I read the SCOTUS blog the days that the opinions come down, and they all seem to be stuck on believing that Alito is going to have that opinion. Let me just tell you something. If Alito has that opinion, we're screwed. If Alito writes the voting rights, it's somebody, forget the name, it's a Brnovich or something versus Arizona. If Alito gets that opinion, it's not going to be decided favorably for us. So we should have those either Monday or Wednesday. Wednesday's the 30th, and that's the last day of the term. So they've got.
And they're saying that's why the Justice Department did the Georgia lawsuit.
Now
to get ahead of that Supreme Court ruling.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, fingers crossed. I mean, the good news that I don't think I spoke enough about, because we've been watching these decisions come down for the last week and a half, was the very first day they started, you know, giving these masses of opinions out. They opened with the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans' third challenge to the Affordable Care Act. And yet again, the Supreme Court said, just stop it already. Just go away already. And I'm thrilled because it means that although I'd rather have Medicare or a single payer plan that I could buy into, at least I still have health insurance.
Right. But also, just to point, because people don't know about this, in the Biden reconciliation that passed already, they greatly expanded Obamacare access to it, and also
subsidies.
Really cut what you have to pay.
And believe me, my listeners know because I've told them. And if somebody is a listener of this show and has not yet and has insurance through the Affordable Care Act and hasn't yet gone into the exchange and gone through the application process again, then they're not listening to me because I'm telling you to do it. I save $100 a month by doing that. My premiums came down $100 a month, and they're working on making that permanent. So do it. Don't wait. And if you just don't have insurance, if you lost your health insurance because of the pandemic, or you just don't have it because it's too expensive, go to the exchange and go through the – you don't have to buy it at the end, but now they have put so much money into it that it really is affordable. So do check it out. Okay? So, Dave Johnson, you were in England. You went to England?
Had to.
I know. Is everything okay? Your family there, right?
Well, I'll just put it this way. It was a bereavement.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Soft word, I guess. Sorry, I'm really warm from the tea now.
Oh, or it's menopause.
Yeah, yeah.
Menopause.
When I was reaching down here to get this out, I wasn't being a Jeffrey Toobin, by the way.
Okay, I believe you. See, as long as you keep that below the table, it's fine with me. I don't care what you do down there. Yeah. Just don't stand up.
All right. And also, I am wearing pants.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I am too.
My reputation has not... Anyway, so I had to go to England.
So you went to England.
We went, okay?
You went,
and it was like my wife went first, and she actually found out that morning she was leaving.
Oh, God.
We got her a ticket. Then we had to go up to San Francisco to get a test. $261.
Oh, my God.
Then we came back and packed, and then we had to go down to San Jose for her plane. All right?
Yeah.
And she gets to UK and gets driven to where she's going to stay. And then I go a couple of days later, and I had to get a test, and same deal. You know, I get to England, but they had changed a few things. And, you know, right around, I think it was the 17th, they changed the rules in England.
Yeah.
So I took a train to the hotel. And so we're in these hotels, you know, you got to quarantine. And then you have to get a test booked before you leave.
Right.
And if you're going to travel anywhere, hear about this. You got to book it before you leave. You got to prove you book it. Anyway, it's incredible. And I'm not begrudging the government there. They're taking care of the people there and making sure people aren't coming in.
Good.
Bringing various kinds of COVID now. And so we're there. And then I did what's called testing out after 5 days. You can do that. That's another $200.
Right.
We spent $1,500 just on tests to be able to go to England. Okay, so that was my trip.
That wasn't your trip. There is a word of caution here for anybody who has a credit card and thinks that through your credit card you have rental insurance.
That's what you're getting at. Okay, so we're having this trip. It's a very hard trip because of the reason. And we're in Whitstable and Herne Bay. I hear there's a show on Acorn that I haven't seen yet called Whitstable Pearl. By
okay.
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 Well, it's a big deal to some people.
I hadn't heard of it. So, okay, moving right along. So you go over there. You rented a car.
And we're in Herne Bay, and we stop quick at a stoplight. It's more like my wife said, stop! So I did. And this bus behind us.
Boom. Rear ends you, right?
Yes. Bang. Pushed us out into the intersection. You know, it was pretty bad. It was hard. It was a big crash. Oddly, the bus got a little worse than us, but... we were pretty bad, and you know, that's expensive. You know, so you get rental car insurance, right?
Yeah.
And you go there, and if you have certain kinds of credit cards, they tell you don't get the rental car insurance. Use our card, and you're covered.
Right. And a number of credit cards do that.
They say that.
Right.
They say that. All right. So here we are, and we're out a bunch of money. You have to give the credit card a bunch of money. In England, you're limited to £1,000, which is only about...
it's like close to $2,000, isn't it? Or
$1,400.
Okay, so it's not as bad as it was.
And they have that here. I think you can have to pay for the whole car, you know, sometimes. Anyway, so call the insurance company. Oh, and one more thing, because the bus hit us. It's not our fault. And eventually the money will come back. But so I called the insurance company because I figured, all right, why don't you handle the getting it back? You cover it like you said you would. They said, oh, we don't cover that anymore.
And that's just so you call them. We had an accident. I'm in England. I have
say,
a claim.
They also say that they cover exchange fees, money exchange. You know, if you
right.
if you spend a bunch of money, they charge you a fee.
Right. When to change the currency. Right.
Well,
not anymore.
Not anymore. They also that's another one. They said, oh, we don't cover that anymore.
Which credit card company is this?
This is a travel credit card, American Airlines, Advantage, Citibank.
Oh shit! Wow, wow.
And, oh well, we decided not to cover that anymore. All right, here you are. You got a card, and they advertise this. Get this card for this benefit, and then use this card, and you don't have to pay rental car insurance anymore. Because we cover it, right? So you get smacked by a bus and you're not covered. Okay. So
oh my God.
Luckily, I'll get the money back. Oh, and also, no one
will you through Citibank, through American Airlines?
No, not through Citibank. The bus company has admitted
that they were in the
liability, and they're going to give.
Oh my God! How's your neck? How's your neck and how's your back?
My neck is not great. She's, you know, when I stop, if the car goes like this, it hurts a bit.
Right.
It's not real serious. You know, it's not a big thing.
But it could linger for years and years and years.
Definitely, we're going to see about maybe filing a claim because of that. If it is bad, yeah.
Wow.
But I guess apparently I'm the only driver in England that actually stops when the light changes.
Oh, you were stopping at a light because the light was changing. So you stopped thinking, I'm not going to run a red light.
And then he says, I thought you were going to stop. Or I thought you weren't going to stop.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Nobody was hurt.
Well, that's
we're going to get the money back, and we know that. But here's the deal. The car, the back end was destroyed. The car took it to a place where the insurance company took it to a repair place they work with all the time.
Yeah.
£2,400 to fix it.
How much?
$2,400.
$2,400. Yeah.
$15,000. So,
wait, anyway, 2,400 or 15,000?
2,400 is what it cost. I thought it would be, you should have seen this.
Oh,
car.
If it was here in the U.S., it would be 15,000.
Oh, it would have been.
Gotcha. That's what you're saying.
If it was on me, that insurance company would have had a different invoice, I think.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
So remember that the American Airlines Advantage credit card, if you're using it, and you think you're covered by rental car. And I did file a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection
Bureau. Good for you. And what did they tell you?
Devastated by that. If they got in an accident and thought they were covered because they're using this insurance or this card that advertises their coverage.
That's right.
It's just one more scam. I can't tell you how many corporate scams we got messed up with on this trip, you know.
Wow.
I won't get into that.
Well, you just can't trust them, so you need to double check everything. But hopefully, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will do something. Will they?
All I really want you to do is make them tell all the people that have their card all the things they don't cover anymore, and advertise that they don't cover this.
Right. If they stop something from the time that you know, they do, though. They say, oh, our terms of service have changed, and they send you this, you know, 3,500 page document with tiny print, and you have to sign and say, yeah, sure, I accept it.
I want to pay my rent. I'll say, oh, my terms of service have changed.
Right. No shit.
I'm not going to pay it this month. Sorry.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I guess I'm not big enough to, you know, and I'm not incorporated or something.
Well, that's the problem. Corporations are people, my friend. By the way, Lava Q in the chat room wants to know if you were driving on the right or the left side of the road.
Left.
You're on the correct side of the road.
I've become really good at driving in England, yeah.
Oh, that's good. You're not moving there, are you?
Can't say.
Uh-oh. Shit.
Let's see what happens with the filibuster.
Okay, so what's happening with the filibuster? Let's talk about new stuff.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Okay, and for the first time in a long time that you've been on the show, you actually have a couple of posts up on your blog at seeingtheforest.com.
I'm just so warm from the tea.
Did you what?
I'm warm from the tea.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's menopause. Although you'd be past that because you're older.
Long past. Like you said, my intro, I'm old.
Yeah, well, I usually...
The old guy.
You know what? I'm sorry, but I should have our intro, your intro up, and my little board got corrupted, so a lot of my files went away. But, you know, if you really want to know, here it is. We'll do it this way.
No.
Yes.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Come on, not everybody gets their own custom intro here. So,
that's true, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
So the infrastructure deal.
Yes, the infrastructure deal. What's going on?
Biden comes out and says, look, the country urgently needs these things. Okay?
Yeah.
And he's got this whole list of things the country urgently needs.
Right.
And the Democrats all start talking about doing it in reconciliation.
Yep.
And then it gets bogged into this strange months of, oh, well, we're going to negotiate, and they negotiate with this group. No, can't get a deal. They negotiate with this group. No, can't get a deal. So they negotiate this one. They take out all of the tax increases. The deal is they're going to sell off a bunch of our infrastructure to corporations so they can charge us money to use it. A whole bunch of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to cut Biden's request down to $529 billion in new spending. What was it?
It was $2.1 trillion. It started at $2.1 trillion.
New spending, all of it.
Right.
Okay, so you're there, and they got this deal. So Bernie comes out, and he says, you know, Pelosi says, that's fine. If they will do the rest of it in a reconciliation deal where the Dems can just pass it, fine. But we're not going to vote on approving this deal until they do that.
Right.
And so Bernie comes out and says the same thing, you know, fine.
Right.
Also put out that, so the Republicans all get all, oh, no, we made this deal to try to stop you from addressing the climate, to try to stop you from taking care of old people, to try to stop you from all this human infrastructure stuff.
To helping out with health insurance, to try to stop you from all this.
Daycare.
Yep.
And all the other things about taking care of our people. It's a, they're all outraged, all these Republicans that were going to be part of this deal. Well, we did this deal only to stop you from doing all the rest, and we thought you fell for it.
Well, the thing is, they weren't in on the deal because it was those five, quote, moderate Republicans, right. And they were up front. In fact, this is what Joe said about it.
I expect that in the coming months this summer, before the fiscal year is over, that we will have voted on this bill, as well, the infrastructure bill, as well as voted on the budget resolution. But if only one comes to me, if this is the only thing that comes to me, I'm not signing it.
Oh, that was pretty straightforward.
Well, also, they've been saying this for a long time. Anybody in those negotiations knew that this was going to be part of the deal. So they're all just crying about, well, he betrayed us. They're trying to come up with, you know, their usual.
They knew. What's his name from Pennsylvania? What's his name? Who was in the five Republicans? Toomey. Wasn't that Toomey? Who was one of the five? You know, Joe Biden, you know, he's trying to joke around with them when he goes out to the microphones last night. And he's like, we're all friends. You know, I trust them. They trust me. And the thing is, with those five, it was Mitt Romney, Pat Toomey, Cornyn. Who else? Who else was there? What other Republicans?
I didn't follow Cornyn.
Cornyn was one of them. But Cornyn and, you know.
Wasn't that a little tip off that this was a game?
Well, Cornyn and Kyrsten Sinema are best buds, don't you know? And can we talk about Kyrsten Sinema for a second? I know she does these things to get attention and to get talked about, but. You know, look, I bitched about Kayleigh McEnany and how she dressed in the White House briefing room. Kyrsten Sinema is not dressed appropriately for her position as a U.S. senator visiting the White House to negotiate with the president. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Just saying. Everything about her is inappropriate, but I'll pick on her clothing.
I don't get it, but you know, here we are. And here we are. Okay. On that subject. So we've got this situation with this filibuster thing.
Yeah.
We've got Dianne Feinstein.
Yes, let's talk about Dianne Feinstein.
She said this stuff about, oh, I don't see a problem with democracy and stuff. And then she said, the filibuster, you know, it's not holding anything up. I passed my assault weapons ban.
Yeah, what year was that? That was the year I graduated from sixth grade, almost.
93 or 94?
Yeah, it was 93, I believe.
This is what's been bothering me lately. We're in this representative democracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got this situation. How much of our fate depends on Joe Manchin?
Too much.
How much of our fate depends on cinema? How much of our fate depends on Dianne Feinstein?
Oh, my God.
Being mentally, cognitively fit at 88.
You know, they want, the Republicans are putting up this, you know, this whatever, you know, oh, Joe Biden needs a cognitive test. You know what? He's fine. He thinks on his feet just fine. It showed on his Europe trip. He may be a little slow, but he's doing just fine. Give Dianne Feinstein a cognitive test because she doesn't know what year it is.
Right. So we're in this situation, you know, and we're literally on the precipice of two existential crises. One of them, of course, is climate.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you know what's going on with the climate right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other one is the battle between these autocracies and democracy, or some form of democracy. I'm not going to pretend we've had a democracy, but, you know,
it's a
here
republic.
We are with this. With this representative democracy, and the democracy can't even get it together to have a system. What kind of system has Dianne Feinstein at 88 saying these things? And the word is inside that, like, they removed her from the judiciary committee.
Intelligence. Was it judiciary or intelligence?
Judiciary.
It was judiciary because Durbin
after the,
took over. Right.
Yeah, after the Barrett hearings.
Right. Yeah, she needs to go home. Look, what's her name? Barbara Boxer retired. She said, "All right, it's time. It's time for me to go home."
Exactly.
Dianne Feinstein needs to go home.
I'm in California. She was elected on name recognition.
Oh, of course.
Yes, her opponent was a much better candidate, much more qualified. Now, she was elected on name recognition. We have this system now, and this. Media, this information environment that we live in, that we end up with the Feinsteins and the 80-something-year-old leadership. And
oh, my God. Between Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and Jim Clyburn, their average age is 80. I mean, come on. They're just holding on to power without bringing up the next generation, which is exactly who we need right now.
The nature of our system right now is not up to the task, I think, of battling the climate and battling. I mean, look, how long have we been fighting this climate fight? And it gets, when was it? How many years ago did they say we have 12 years to keep it under 1.5 degrees?
We've long right past now? That. 350.org came about because they said if we go above 350 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere, we're screwed. Well, we're over 4-something now.
And we're screwed. Look at what's
we're
happening
screwed.
In the Pacific Northwest. 113 degrees in Portland.
Oh, my God.
Way hotter than it has ever been, not to mention how much hotter it is than it's ever been in June. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and in the spring, we had 103 degrees.
Wow.
In the Bay Area, it's, you know, if you're from around here or you know the area.
Yeah, it's cold. It's usually, San Francisco was always cold.
The coldest summer I ever spent was the coldest winter I ever spent.
Was a summer in San Francisco.
Now we're getting 103, 99 all the time.
Yeah.
And the drought.
And the drought. And the fire season has not started yet, and it's going to be out of control again this year.
And the Republicans thought they'd outsmarted Joe Biden by taking the climate stuff out of the infrastructure package. And they're all and so Biden says, of course, we're going to address this with reconciliation. And they're, oh, my God, how could you do this to us? You know, we're not going to get our oil company checked this month.
Yep.
So that's what's been bothering me the most lately.
As it should.
So you asked, am I thinking of moving to England? You know, let's see what happens in the next election. Do we get the ability to do something about the gerrymandering and all the rest? Or do we sink into a country, you know, with a Republican House, and they'll make Trump Speaker of the House in 2023? God.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't think that's going to happen. If it did,
there's this law coming in. He wants to poll students at the universities.
Okay, this is DeSantis. This is
defund the universities.
This is Florida again. This is moron death sentence. He says, yeah, I don't like this whole critical race theory stuff. I think our kids are being indoctrinated in our state universities and colleges. So I'm putting a new, this is our dictator death sentence, a new policy into place. We're going to survey everybody, yeah, students, yeah, and faculty, and find out their ideology. And right, if it's too liberal, he's going to cut off funding. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
That's what he said. And it's like, and this is happening in all of these Republican states, and they're making it very clear that if Democrats happen to win after they, you know, try to stop everybody from voting, remove all of the drop boxes, make sure no black people can vote on Sundays at souls to the polls, all those things, well, then they'll just decertify the election and put a Republican in place anyway.
Right.
So here we are, 2022. This could all happen if we do not pass certain laws. I mean, I know that they're suing Georgia, but what if they get Republican judges?
Yeah, I know.
So if we can't do something about the filibuster and pass some laws doing something about this,
then we're really fucked. We're really fucked. You know,
existential crisis of democracy.
Years ago, I used to joke when Bush was in office because he was pretty horrendous. I mean, we didn't know that there were, you know, 20 sub basements below the basement, but there apparently are. It's never ending. You know, when you're a kid, you talked about you're going to dig to China. Forget it. It just goes on indefinitely. It just keeps going down because we've plumbed the newest depths. But if the whole thing is astounding. I lost my train of thought here because I went on to that analogy, and I it's Friday and I don't know what I was going to say. But the where was I? God damn it, Dave. See, I'm all confused now. I don't even know when you start talking, it'll come back to me. I was going to make a point, and again, I go off on a tangent and I forget.
Democracy.
No, if this election in 2022, if they try to turn things around, I don't know. All I was going to say is we're fucked. Do you have an escape? Oh, I know. I used to say that I want to get an island somewhere when Bush was president and just start our own little world, our own country. So let's find one of those discarded islands from the fire festival or whatever. And I guess we'd have to build a mountain on it because the sea level is rising, and live on top of the mountain and have our own world and just forget about the rest of it.
When I found this house in Flint, And I was just looking, I decided I'd look for the most expensive house in Flint.
Okay.
I have relatives in Flint, so we go there a lot.
Oh, boy.
And I found this on 2 acres, this massive, beautiful mansion that looked like a castle, and everything inside was...
For $3,000?
$400,000, and there was room for you and me and all our friends to
have a commune. But we'd have to bring our own water.
Yeah. Well,
that's the problem.
We would have gotten a good filter installed.
Yes. If you're buying this castle-like mansion for $100,000, I really think that's the way we're going to go in the future. I think more people will go into like communal living situations. Get a big property and you share expenses, because frankly, I don't know anyone who can afford to live on their own anymore.
And then if the Republicans win, we can put a wall around it, you know, get a bunch of guns.
Uh-huh. Oh, they've got all the guns. But, you know, it's always going to be easy to get guns in this country. And that's another thing. It's like when you go to England, do they say, no, oh, you're from America?
There's a few guns and a few gun crimes. It's so exceedingly rare. In England, you're in trouble if you've got a knife. And it's like the difference there's so many things. The difference is phenomenal. Even their right-wing crazies are basically what we would call Democrats here, you know?
God. Yeah, Boris Johnson, who was always so crazy, and now he's praising Joe Biden and trying to distance himself from Trump, I noticed. Right. And he was the one I thought if he ever got in as prime minister, they're fucked.
And they're called, they have trains.
They have trains and they run. They
run and they're fast and they go everywhere. And you just hop on a train. Okay, so it was a bad trip. It was hard, you know, all the work and stuff we had to do. But one day we got on a train, just hopped on a train, and 15 minutes later, we're out in the country at this little village with the best food at these pubs, you know, these little...
England? They had good food.
You asked me about England. Yeah. I wasn't going to come on and start talking about England, but...
No, we could go through the news. Let me ask you about this one. So the last story that just broke moments before we hit the air is the government released its report, its UFO report. And did you hear the headline? This is so typical United States. Let me find this headline for you. Of course, it's going to have closed out. It said something here. I did put it on my show sheet, didn't I? Basically, the report is out. There are somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 and where is it? U.S. unable to explain more than 140 unidentified flying objects, but new report finds no evidence of alien life.
Okay.
Have you seen the videos? Have you seen these things like stop and disappear in the water and then pop up out of nowhere? I mean, they can't explain what it is, but they won't even entertain the idea that it could be life from other planets. They think in this enormous universe, we're the only ones. That's kind of egotistical, isn't it? Isn't that a bit narcissistic?
Well, I don't know. The key word is unexplained.
It is unexplained.
Unexplained. That doesn't have to lead us to believe that it's, you know, got to be from another planet.
Well, what else would it be? You can't tell me that China or Russia has that technology that we don't have.
Somebody might.
No, come on. It's so
unexplained. That's all.
And why can't you think that, there are beings from other universes?
You know, Carl Sagan used to talk about this, and there's a thing called the Fermi paradox. That is that the odds that there are other civilizations are so great. You know, I mean, there is a vast and incomprehensible number of stars.
Yeah, right.
This planet.
That's right.
Support life, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And yet, we don't hear from any of them.
Well, maybe it's by design. Star Trek, they were not allowed to have any effect on the lives on those planets.
That's right. And here we are feeding the birds.
And here we are. Just, I'm hoping. See, this is my way out. I'm thinking one of those is an alien life form, and they're going to come and say, I'm sorry, nobody should have to live in Florida with moron death sentences. Their governor, come. We have a book. It's called To Serve Man.
Here's what you have to hope.
Yes.
You have to hope that they don't give you a book.
It's called To Serve Man.
Plans, and the book is titled To Serve Man.
Duh. That's what I've been saying, Dave. But even if it was, you know what? I'm 61 years old. Aside from my husband, my dog, and my kid, I got nothing keeping me here.
Hasty.
Hasty?
Tasty.
Tasty or hasty?
You know what the book was, To
it's
Serve Man.
It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
Tasty.
I'm going to reach out to my friend Bill Mumy and get him on the show. Bill Mumy was Billy Mumy when he was a kid, and he was Will Robinson on Lost in Space, and he was on a number of Twilight Zone episodes, including, you know, he could wish people to the cornfield. Can we just get Bill Mumy to wish all these idiots to the cornfield? Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump. Oh, see, there are so many easy solutions if we could just suspend disbelief for a moment.
Right.
It's Friday. Can you tell it's Friday?
I'm thinking of England and you're thinking of outer space.
Oh, boy. All right. Yes, I am. I didn't even realize how late it was. We're getting close to the end of the hour, Dave. We got through it and we really didn't talk about news. Derek Chauvin sentenced to 22 and a half years. Is it enough?
He did?
22 and a half
that
years.
That must have happened when I was getting ready for the show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not enough.
No.
I mean, no, well, let me put that a different way. The long-ass sentences that a lot of people in this country get are too long.
Yes.
And 22 years, you know, might be a pretty darn, that's a long sentence, you know. So the answer is not to say it should be longer. The answer is to say that proportionally, other sentences are ridiculously long.
Right. But he, you know what, he could have been sent away for 40 years. And he yeah. should have, because that was yeah. murder. It was cold-blooded murder. And his mother gave a statement today. You know, it was the victim statements. They had George Floyd's 7-year-old daughter on videotape. It was horrible. But then George Floyd's mother gets up and says, you know, it's a sentence for him, but it's a sentence for me too. She didn't express yeah. one yeah. bit of empathy for the George family. But the weirdest thing is, if you didn't hear it,
yeah.
Derek Chauvin actually made a statement. Did you not hear this? Listen to what he said, because this is we're already late. We already missed Progressive Voices is gone. Listen to what Derek Chauvin said at his sentencing. This is weird.
Mr. Chauvin, this is your opportunity if you wish to give any input to the court. And so I turn it over to you and your attorney.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time, due to some additional legal matters at hand, I'm not able to give a full formal statement at this time. But very briefly, though, I do want to give my condolences to the Floyd family.
Really?
There's going to be some other information in the future that would be of interest. And I hope things will give you some peace of mind.
What the fuck?
Thank you.
What? That was the most cryptic, asinine, fucked up, ridiculous thing for him to say. He should have said nothing and offer his condolences. Oh, that sounded so genuine. Empathy oozing from his pores. Wow.
Well, he'll probably turn into a right-wing hero. Like.
Oh, of course. Like the kid who...
What was the guy who killed Trayvon Martin? I don't know.
Oh, George.
The guy who shot people in Kenosha?
Yes. The kid who shot the people in Kenosha. They sent money to him. They embraced these people. The war criminal that Trump pardoned, who you know, war crimes. These, and this is who the right in this country embraces. That's what scares me more than anything.
Yeah.
More than anything. All right, Dave Johnson, it's been real. it's been a weird show, but again, it's been a weird day and a weird week.
You have me on, that happens.
Yeah, I know. That always happens. Now, Congress is on recess for 2 weeks. Can you explain that to me?
No.
Really?
See, it was just green tea, and I almost shot it anyway.
You can. Go ahead, because that is
113
some...
113 degrees in Portland and recess.
Sorry, that was the wrong one. I thought I had a different thing up here. Because I don't need you to shut the fuck up. But I was gonna put my bullshit thing on there. Why are they taking a break? And not only are they out for 2 weeks now, but then they go away for the whole month of August too.
Here, see, that was my reaction.
Yeah, it's really wrong. And I thought maybe once, you know, the Democrats were back in charge, that shit would stop. But it isn't.
So what's up with, well, maybe he's just got to because of the 80-year-olds that are.
Well, you know what? Let the 80-year-olds go home. And I never thought I would be an ageist, but I guess I am one now. Here's what I was going to say.
Bullshit.
That's what it is. It's bullshit.
When the fate of the world depends on this 50-50 margin, and you've got a bunch of 80-year-olds who anything could happen to at any time, 88-year-olds and stuff. If Leahy is in a state with a Republican governor.
Yeah. Yeah.
If something happens to him.
Exactly. Leahy. Vermont.
Republican Senate.
Vermont. Leahy is, and you know, he filed the paperwork to run again? I'm sorry. Yep. You know what? We need age limits or term limits or something, because these people are so power hungry.
Well, we need a system that functions.
We need a system
that
functions.
I mean, how many ways do we need a system that's functioning compared to what we have?
Where
know where it all, our information system allows someone to run on name recognition only.
Yeah, but you know what's really sad? Somebody, and I don't have it. I heard this, and I need to find the data, and I'll get it for next week. But there was a study done, and the big name celebrities, Tom Hanks, Oprah Winfrey, outpoll every career politician for the presidency. Polling the American people, who would you vote for, Tom Hanks or this established, you know, I'm not talking Kyrsten Sinema. I'm talking, you know, Cory Booker was one of them. Tom Hanks and Oprah Winfrey outpolled Cory Booker. You know who's polling really high in Texas against Abbott?
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
This country is fucked up.
Yeah.
Just fucked up. Fame,
it's
if you're
a
famous.
Of our information systems allowing this, okay?
Exactly.
And if you look at almost any poll, you don't have to ask on the issues. All you really have to ask is, do you watch Fox News?
Right. That's
and you
all.
Get that percentage will say so and so on the poll.
Right.
Period.
Right. And then you have the Glenn Greenwalds. And I hate to say it, but the Matt Taibbis too.
Yeah, well, what has happened? These are people we knew.
Yes, and respected.
People. It's like, what happened?
I don't know. But you this understand? Is, you know, there was a movie a few years ago, The Brainwashing of My Dad, by this woman named Jen Psaki. And it was about her father, who used to be a normal, you know, middle-of-the-road guy, and he got addicted to Fox, and he went more and more crazy, and she did a documentary about it. Well, now she's coming out with a book, and I'm glad, because this needs to be discussed. I think that's what happened to Trump. It happens to people that I know and their parents, and they start watching Fox, and they get brainwashed. They get sucked in, and it's a thing, and it's scary, and it's happened to at least half of this country now. On that uplifting note, can't we leave on a good note? Oh, I know. I'm going to play you something because you know, we're already in overtime. I can. So, you know all this, the whole stuff about the critical race theory?
Oh, God. I thought, wait a minute. I thought Sharia law was what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. But, you know, the Christians practice Sharia law.
What happened to the caravans?
Well,
I was so scared of the caravans, and now they're telling me to be scared of this instead.
Right. Critical race theory, because they say they're teaching it to our kids in elementary school, which, I don't quite know about that.
You're
but
making them woke. They're so bad.
Right. Well, listen to this. Here is an expert on the subject of critical race theory. Her name is Blair Erskine. Check this out. Oh, I got to hit it over here. Okay, here we go.
As parents, we should be able to decide when we tell our kids that they're white, okay? How about a complementary race theory, okay, where we give each other compliments? Because the key to ending racism isn't to make white people feel bad, okay? It's to make white people feel better than everybody else. I mean, y'all, they want to teach kids how to hate each other because of their skin color. Okay, my kids don't need to learn that. We teach them that at home. I mean, critical race. My kid has tight lungs. He can't run good. Okay, he's allergic to the sun. I got to Saran wrap him up before he goes outside. What happened to fun runs?
Fun runs.
What happened to fun runs? This is what I teach my son, okay? Every morning, my son wakes up and he says, I identify as an American taxpayer. My God is a white cop. My potato head has a penis. My Pomeranian is straight. And my pronouns are confusing. I don't know what pronouns are.
That's Blair Erskine. She's fucking awesome.
I thought critical race theory would make me magnetic.
Oh, no, that's the vaccine. Sorry. Come on. You're not magnetic? Hold on. I've got my magnets right here. You're not magnetic? Neither am I. Look. Oh, no, it's not. Sticking to my neck. Not really.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so that was Blair Erskine. All right, I'm going to leave you with a song. I'm not going to do the news because it's so late already. Here's a song. By the way, Randy Rainbow had a new song today that I did not play. The reason I didn't play, because it's a commercial for a new Barbra Streisand album. And apparently, and it even says it, there's like a disclaimer on it that says this is a paid thing. And it's, I guess, Barbara sent Randy Rainbow in advance of her new album, and he did a video about it. You know, yeah. Instead, I'll leave you with the Founders Sing, because they have a little ditty about Joe Manchin. So I'll leave you with that. It's Roger Daltrey with the Founders Sing, singing a song to Joe Manchin. And it's, I think it's Who Are You, which would make sense, because who the fuck are you, Joe Manchin? All right, Founders Sing, take it away.
That's who. We woke up after that election with the senator rather. We thought we could finally sleep tonight because McConnell truly served. But now we wonder whose side you're on as democracy gets trashed. The GOP will keep suppressing the vote till you get off your ass. Well, who are you?
Who are you? Turncoat, that's who.
Oh, say it isn't so.
Who are you? Thought you were blue.
Tell me, who are you?
Who are you? We've got no clue.
A double agent, you.
Who are you? Mention, that's who.
And I kept thinking that they were saying, fuck you, and you know what? That's what I heard. So that's, you know, that's how I hear it anyway. And on that note, Dave Johnson, any famous parting words?
No.
No? No.
I got to pee.
You got to pee? Is that what you just said?
Gotcha.
All right. Then on that note, we'll leave you. We'll let you go.
Is that what you just said?
I don't know. I told you it's Friday. I'm so ready for a weekend. I'm really ready for a vacation. All right. I'm going to let us both go. I'm going to leave us with one more song. This is it's about the climate, because we're so screwing up our planet. So this, I really will leave us with this one. It is from the Parody Project. And I think people will recognize this song. Dave Johnson, thank you for being with us today. Have a wonderful weekend. we needed the laughs, I guess. This is all I do these days, is I laugh incessantly at things that are ridiculous. All right, I'm going to leave you with Environmentally Resigned from the Parody Project. Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
It's knowing that the truth will have a cost that causes some people to balk and makes them tend to leave their sleeping friends rolled up and stashed behind their couch, where they sit and watch the corporate news controlled by those who profit from a system that pollutes both earth and mind. It keeps us on the back roads, cut off from the solutions, and we're left environmentally resigned. It's knowing that the atmospheric CO2 affects the planet's climate, with levels at the highest that they've been over the last 3 million years. While it's true that we could fix it, the inherent threat to profit seems to make it so we're always disinclined. What use will all that money be when the planet can't sustain us and the Earth's environmentally resigned? They're clinging to some dead beliefs while rapid changes happen all around us. Believing something someone said that blames it on some faction they despise.
is just knowing that the world could be impacted with disaster, like an earthquake and a hurricane combined. And to them it wouldn't indicate when something was amiss, cause they're environmentally resigned. It makes some people mad to say humans could affect the course of nature. Go ahead and check the comments that you'll find below this post, I rest my case. How can we find solutions when the truth is being purposefully maligned? When things get to their worst, we'll still deny we caused it, it's just environmentally resigned. It's knowing that the truth will have a cost that causes some people to balk and makes them tend to leave their sleeping brain rolled up and stashed behind their couch. Or they sit and watch the corporate news controlled by those who profit from a system that pollutes further than mine. It keeps us on the back roads, cut off from the solutions, and we're left environmentally resigned.